These are all of our stories. These are who we are as Americans.
Freedom leads to prosperity. Freedom is the victor.
This is the podcast of Grassroots Radio Colorado with your host, Chris Cook.
And welcome to the Grassroots Radio Colorado podcast. I am Chris Cook, your host. And first of all, today's August 18th. And I realized earlier today that if I do that and say what the date is, and then you listen to it the next day, since I posted these at night, you're probably one day off all the time, aren't you? I'm trying to figure out how to handle that, and I guess I just won't. I just wanted to timestamp these things so that you have some idea of when they are and what the context is, if you remember what the news was that day and you're listening to it 2 weeks later. Tonight, I want to cover something. I want to sort of riff off of what I did on last night's podcast when I was talking about being an ideologue, being an idealist, and having those two qualities to sustain you motivationally as we pursue this fight. Tonight, I want to talk about the fight itself. And I want to give a caveat at the beginning. What I want to talk about is mission and strategy and tactics, and how those three things interplay. And I want to give a caveat that I do not have military experience. I have never served in the military. I have never been a commander. I've never been a CEO. I run my own business, but I am the only employee. So I've never been a CEO. But when you deal in politics, and especially at the level kind of where I've been at as an activist and so forth, over the course of the past 8 years, you start to see how these three terms, mission and strategy and tactics, play out, especially in politics. But I think the more used to thinking this way that I have become over the course of this time, I've begun to understand these terms in all areas of my life. I do legal cases, for example. I mean, I'm a forensic accountant, so I'm dealing with legal strategies and legal tactics and understanding what the mission is within the context of a court case. And so I see it in play there. I see it in play in my personal life and my you know, life's mission and how I get there and the actions that I take to employ to get there. So I see these three terms recurring throughout my life in all sorts of different areas. And I've found that it's very useful to have a clear delineation of what these things mean and to understand what the implications are of mission, strategy, and tactics, so that it helps with analysis in large part. It helps with being able to analyze certain interpersonal relationships, interpersonal interactions, determining next actions, helping to break down decision-making processes and so forth. So hopefully I won't get too deep on this podcast, but I want to get a little deep, and I'm going to give you some real life examples. So this isn't going to be completely abstract, but I want to talk in the abstract to begin with. Let's start with some definitions. The way that I use these words, and I use them a lot, especially mission. I talk about mission over ego all the time. But I use mission a lot. We talk about strategy. We talk about tactics. And so I want to use I want to set the baseline of how I am using those terms, so it makes sense within this context. And I think that these are pretty good definitions. For me, mission is always rooted in principle. I've studied something, I've come to value something and believe that that is a principle, that it is a reflection of absolute truth. For example, equal application of the law, for me. That is a principle. That's a principle upon which our country was founded. And so for me, finding that equal application and having that apply, having that principle apply within certain specific situations, that is the overall mission, is that we want the law to be applied equally to all citizens. That's a mission for me, because it's rooted in principle. And it's a hill that I'm willing to die on. That one is, for me, a hill that I'm willing to die on. I am willing to state that I believe that the public accommodations section of the Civil Rights Act is a violation of that principle. I'm willing to state that publicly, because it is not equally applying the law. It creates super citizens. So that is, for me, a principle worth, it's a hill worth dying on. And yes, I've gotten quite a bit of flack about that certain position, but I believe that it's intellectually honest, and I believe it's consistent with my belief in the principles. So that's an example of a mission. Another example, this is one of the real world examples we'll get to later, is a mission is electing conservatives in 2016. That, for me, is a mission. That's something that has to be accomplished. That has to be the end goal. You can't compromise on that and still achieve the mission. Strategy for me takes into account the existing broad landscape, and it's longer term. It's not as long term. I mean, the missions are irrefutable, I think, but it's longer term. Strategy is longer term, and it applies to the overall progress towards the mission. And that was really abstract. So a strategy would be removing, for example, to use the example I used a minute ago, removing the public accommodations section from the Civil Rights Act. That would be a strategy to achieve the equal application of the law. One strategy. Tactics are much shorter term, and they are determined based on available resources and those resources best deployment. That's what we're looking at when we're talking about tactics. A definition that I found today as I was researching for this podcast, and I thought, I mean, this is sort of glib, but I think that this kind of summarizes it. Strategy is done above the shoulders and tactics are done below the shoulders. In other words, strategy is about thinking and tactics are about action. And I like that delineation. I do like that delineation, because it puts things into perspective. Ultimately, for me and for this podcast, the differentiation between strategy and tactics is not nearly as important as it is to differentiate mission from strategy and tactics. And that's something that I really want to get into. The mission, like I said, it should be the hill that you're willing to die on. But that does not mean that you have to choose to be killed if there are other options that better serve the mission. So you have to survey your strategic options and choose the one that is best going to serve the mission. You have to do that if you're going to actually serve the mission. If you employ a strategy that is actually detrimental to the mission, but it looks good politically, you're not going to get anywhere. And in fact, you're acting without integrity. You're acting without integrity. If you employ a strategy, if you employ tactics that are detrimental to the end game, then you are actually acting without integrity, because you are not serving the mission. You are failing to keep the mission in mind. If there aren't any other options, though, if you've been left by the maneuvering of the other side without any options to employ any other strategy except for dying on that hill, it is more than honorable. It is almost imperative that you go ahead and do that. That is what you have to do. You have to remain true to that mission. Have to. The tactics support the strategy. And if the tactics undermine the mission, choose other tactics. That's what you got to do, which is part of, and some of the stuff I was talking about last night about part of being successful in politics is understanding the landscape, understanding reality. In other words, being pragmatic and getting a grasp on the things that you have to do in order to achieve that mission, the people that you have to persuade, the actions that you have to take in order to achieve that mission. So you have to have all of this in together. You have to have that broader view, that 35,000 foot view, and the details. And you have to understand the implications of the tactics. You have to understand how they will affect other people, how other people will respond. You have to be able to see 2, 3, 4, 5 steps into the process and get it. You have to get that. You have to grasp that. I'm making this sound really complicated. It's not. Watch House of Cards. You'll get it in an instant. It's about anticipation and being able to counter what likely opposition you'll find so that you can indeed achieve that mission. Everything is subservient to the mission. Really have to remember that. The big danger with mission strategy and tactics, the big danger is misinterpreting somebody who disagrees with your strategy, or somebody who disagrees with your tactics, even worse, as somebody who does not share your mission, because you are only seeing one way to get there. You're not seeing that there may be multiple paths up that hill. You're not understanding that there are more than one ways to skin a cat. And if you misinterpret somebody who is choosing a different path to the top of that hill as somebody who is trying to climb a different hill, you create unnecessary enemies, you waste resources, you annihilate allies, and that creates a very dangerous situation, because you are trying to achieve something, usually with very limited resources, usually with a very limited talent base, and to try to or to interpret somebody who is really fairly critical to the mission as somebody who doesn't share your mission, that is a huge problem. I alluded in last night's podcast to a recent betrayal that I have experienced, and it is rooted in exactly this: a misinterpretation of a disagreement on tactics as a disagreement on mission. That's exactly what happened, and it's unfortunate. It truly, truly is unfortunate, because there is a talent base available that is now not being utilized. And that's a shame, because the mission is going to be compromised because of that. So it's important to be able to differentiate between these three levels, and to differentiate somebody who doesn't share your strategy, somebody who believes that there is another way up that hill, and or somebody who just doesn't agree with the actions that you're taking and believes that there's other actions that will serve the strategy better, as somebody who doesn't share your mission. And if they truly don't share your mission, then you will see that in their actions. You will see that in how they're thinking. But you also have to ask the question. And you have to have some level of emotional competence, emotional intelligence, to listen to the answer and understand what it is, and understand where that person's coming from. You have to have some shrewdness and skepticism to be able to assess their answers when you ask them, but you have to ask the question. You have to. Especially if it's somebody who has been an ally, who has been on your side, who has shared your mission, and you've got tunnel vision, so you don't see how they have the ability to choose a different path. And they can actually see a different path, unless you ask them, what is the path that you're seeking? And have a productive conversation along those lines. That, to me, is imperative. Just for interpersonal relations, that you would actually ask that instead of making the assumption that they don't share your mission. And that's what happened to me. So when we come back, I want to bring this into the realm of reality. I want to talk about some real stuff. We're going to talk about Carly Fiorina and Ted Cruz. And we're also going to talk about what's going on in the Colorado GOP. So those are the two examples that I want to give you to sort of illustrate this difference between mission and strategy and tactics. You're listening to the Grassroots Radio Colorado podcast. I'm Chris Cook. We'll be right back. Is Salmo, and the name of the track is Chaos Omama, or Omomo, sorry. That's available at the freemusicarchive.org. Recommend you go download that one. It's a lot of fun. Okay, so we were talking about mission versus strategy versus tactic. And as I said before, mission is rooted in principle. The mission is immutable. Now, there may be times that you find out that your mission is wrong. I've changed my life's mission over the course of my life, and I think probably most of us have. When I was a teenager, it was to have fun and make lots of money. That was my mission. When I got a little bit older, part of my mission was to have a family. And when that turned out to not be the thing that was going to happen, well, then my mission changed. My mission changed, honestly, to saving the Republic. That is what my mission is. And so my strategy and my tactics all feed into that. But mission is immutable. It really is. And especially when you're talking about the mission connected with saving our country and saving our republic, the mission is going to be rooted in the principles that started our republic. The founding fathers' principles, those principles, the natural law, those things that we know are absolute truths. And that's our mission. That's my mission, is to see a restoration of those immutable truths. And so that doesn't change very often. I mean, it can change when you find out it doesn't reflect reality, but absent that, it really doesn't change. You're going to be stuck to that mission, to those principles. Strategy and tactics, however, depend in large part on the landscape that you're dealing with. And they serve only to achieve the mission. That is their only purpose, is to achieve the mission. And so that is the landscape that we're talking about here. So I promised you some real-world examples. Let's start with Carly Fiorina. And I like Carly a lot. I really, really do. I think that she's funny. I think that she's a great counterpoint to Hillary Clinton. She's a fabulous counterpoint because she is in this PC world that we live in, that we're trying to get rid of the PC. And until that point, Carly can actually criticize Hillary without being charged with being a racist or a sexist, a misogynist. And that is hugely valuable in this race. It truly is. But Carly doesn't have it 100% right. And she proved that during the government shutdown back in 2013, when Ted Cruz filibustered for 21 hours trying to defund Obamacare. So I want to play you this clip from when she was on the lead with Jake Tapper. And let's talk about what she said.
Everybody could see this train wreck coming. I actually feel badly for John Boehner. I think this is Ted Cruz and President Obama's shutdown. I think Ted Cruz's tactics were wrong. There's no honor in charging a hill that you know you can't take, only casualties, although Ted Cruz maybe got name recognition and money along the way. But President Obama, I don't think so, but President Obama wanted this shutdown, and Ted Cruz played right into his hands. And the thing is, you and I have talked about negotiating before. If you want to negotiate with someone, you have to empower them. President Obama has done everything possible to disempower the reasonable people that he's trying to negotiate with, and he's done everything possible to say. I was amazed to hear him say, I've kept my rhetoric down. My goodness, he's been on campaign-style speeches the last three months saying over and over again, I will not negotiate. When you say that, you empower the flamethrowers.
When you say that, you empower the flamethrowers. The reason why you empower the flamethrowers is because you leave them no other strategy. When you say you will not negotiate, there is no response to that other than being a flamethrower, unless you're willing to give up the mission. And that is exactly what Fiorina was advocating for in this clip. When you sit back and you think about it, let's break this down. The mission was to defund Obamacare. Cruz had made a promise to do that on the campaign trail. It's part of what he was sent to Washington to do, and he understands. He understood at that time, and he still does, that that was part of what he was sent to Washington to do, to defund this terrible incursion against our freedoms. That's what he was there for. That's the mission. Obama put his own line in the sand, that he was not going to negotiate about this. His own mission, which is contrary to the mission, the principles of this founding, but his own mission was to provide universal health care at the cost of just about everybody else, which is still everybody, and totally annihilate the healthcare sector of the economy. Because Obama said that he wouldn't negotiate, Republicans who were committed to defunding Obamacare were left with no options except to bring it to the American people. That was the only option left, and to place public pressure on Obama to defund this. That was Cruz's strategy. Now, his tactic was to deliver a 21-hour filibuster, knowing that it was futile procedurally because all of the rest of his party, the establishment, had turned against him because they weren't committed to the mission of defunding Obamacare. So they were willing to change their strategy because they were willing to give up the mission. Then it's not a surprise. For Cruz, even though it was futile procedurally, he knew that doing what he did in the filibuster would bring the mission to the American voters. And so that's what he did. For Fiorina to say that there's no honor in charging a hill you know you can't take, I think that's absolutely wrong. On the contrary, I think there's great honor in that, in showing that the mission is worth the sacrifice. Fiorina's counsel would have been to give up the mission. She was counseling Cruz to give up the mission. I believe that is wrong. If you're committed to the principle, if you're committed to that, if you're committed to having integrity, as Cruz was and is, then you're going to be committed to dying on that hill. He made a promise to his constituents, and he was going to keep it. No matter what it cost him politically, no matter if it cost him criticism from Carly Fiorina and a whole bunch of other establishment Republicans, that is what he did. And I think it shows great strength and moral character to stick with that mission. That's the way that I see Cruz's filibuster about Obamacare. So that's one example. Let's turn to a more current example, and one that I know that a lot of you are familiar with. Some of this is inside baseball, but if you've been listening to my other podcasts, then you understand the broad outlines of what's going on here. There is a battle currently over who should lead the Colorado GOP. The mission is to get conservatives elected in 2016. Part of the strategy to do that, and there are many things that feed into that mission. There's fundraising, and there's activism, and what we should be doing as grassroots, and that kind of thing. But part of the strategy, a partial strategy, is to have a conservative who is committed to that mission, to electing conservatives, constitutional conservatives, as the sitting chair of the Colorado GOP. This was much of the reason that Steve House was elected as chair of the Colorado GOP. It's why I supported him. It's why a lot of the people that I know supported him. A lot of the people in the Liberty Movement stood on the stage at the Central Committee meeting in March waving signs for Steve House, because we knew that Ryan Call was absolutely not committed to the mission of electing conservatives. In fact, he was adverse to that mission. We believed that Steve House was part of the solution. What we've come to find out is that his integrity and his truthfulness and his competence have all come into doubt. And because of that, those of us who have seen the evidence, who have talked to the folks who are affected, we believe that that he needs to be replaced with somebody who is more authentic, somebody who is more transparently committed to the mission, so that that mission is not compromised. That is why we are seeking Steve House's ouster, and that's why we are seeking to replace him with somebody more authentic, more transparent, more competent to lead this party and achieve that mission of electing conservatives in 2016. So that's the strategy. Now, let's look at the tactics. Plan A was to ask for his resignation. That failed. Plan B was to seek a vote of no confidence from the executive committee. That also failed. 22-1, it failed. And in large part, it failed because of Steve's own behavior and how he handled the meeting, who he handed it over to chair, since he had to recuse himself, how the meeting was conducted, i.e. with no breaks, no air conditioning, no chance for people to eat, even though it was like a six-hour meeting, I think. Both of these plans, Plan A of asking for his resignation and Plan B, getting that vote of no confidence, relied on Steve acting honorably. And if Steve acted honorably, then we wouldn't be seeking his resignation. So both of those tactics didn't take into account the true landscape that we were looking at. They didn't take into account what the reality was. They imposed upon that reality an idealistic view, rose-colored glasses. Now, I said yesterday you need to be an idealist. You also need to be a pragmatist. You need to be an idealist in the sense that you need to have faith that the mission can be accomplished, but you need to be pragmatic in how you implement the tactics and the strategies to achieve that mission. So Plan A failed, Plan B failed, Plan C is what we're at now. Now, I haven't been part of any strategy sessions or anything like that for months. I was early on, but I am not now. And so I have no idea what those in the cabal are thinking. I've been pretty much excommunicated at this point. But Plan C, in my mind, has to be going to the State Central Committee, which consists of about 500 people from across the state who are members of that committee, and convincing 3/5 of the Central Committee that Steve House needs to be replaced. So to do that, you have to have outreach. You have to have some sort of an organized motion, and I mean like action, you know, people moving to get the word out to those people, to speak to those people and to show them the evidence and to show them what needs to be done, why it needs to be done. And the very first, another part of tactics is understanding what you're going to be faced with. The very first question on most of those people's minds is going to be, well, did you try to help him? And so that needs to be addressed. If you instead do a constant exhortation of the Central Committee to believe us about the evidence, just trust us, it's there, he's a bad guy, vote against him, that's not going to be nearly as effective as to offer up actual written evidence along with an answer to their objections about whether or not we tried to help fix it. That gives us more credibility in asking for them to consider changing their ideas about who should be leading the state GOP. But a disagreement between those two tactics resulted in an accusation that I didn't share the mission. I do indeed. I believe that Steve needs to be replaced. I have consistently asked for his resignation. I've asked him personally. The night that he was asked to resign, I asked him, please do this because we need to save the party. And I asked him last week. I've called for it on air. I've called for it on this podcast. I've called for it in writing. And I don't know how many other ways I can prove that I share that mission. I really don't. So I'm kind of, you know, I'm kind of frustrated at this point that yes, I'm committed to getting conservatives elected, but I'm not sure how many other ways I can prove it. So I'm kind of stepping back. These podcasts are really my only way to get that word out. And so I hope you'll share this, Have a conversation with yourself. Have a conversation with your friends about mission versus strategy versus tactics. And when you're faced with a situation where you think somebody is an enemy, think about this. Think about whether or not they share your mission and differ on tactics, especially if you're surprised by where they stand. Or are they honestly adverse to your mission? Like, for example, most Democrats, I would think, are adverse to our mission. But most of the people in the Liberty Movement are on the same page. We're trying to get constitutional conservatives elected. And so if they differ on tactics, think about that and consider it within this context and see if we can't find a little bit more common ground in doing so that we might be able to actually achieve that mission. Thanks so much for joining me. I really appreciate you guys listening to the Grassroots Radio Colorado podcast. Find me on Facebook, facebook.com/grassrootsradiocolorado, or you can email me, Chris, K-R-I-S, at grassrootsradiocolorado.com. I look forward to hearing from you. And until tomorrow, remember, America is great because Americans are great. So go out there and be exceptional.